It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We're presently studying through the subject of God's church. And as I look around today, I see there's many different ways that people are trying to get people to come to church. And some of those churches are really not God's church. G. Campbell Morgan, a man of God, and he preached the Word of God. He passed away in 1945. Even back then, he said, "When amusement is necessary to get people to listen to the gospel, there will be failure." And this is not intended to be the method of Christ. To form an organization and provide all kinds of entertainment is to be foredoomed to failure. G. Campbell Morgan. Another evangelist said this, "God's first and foremost method for communicating His word to this generation is preaching." Titus chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "But hath in due times manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior." God has not chosen drama. Well, this evangelist goes on to say, He's not chosen drama, movies, and concerts, but preaching as His primary means of revelation. We have no right to dilute, delete, diminish, or dummy down anything that God said in His Word. We are to declare it exactly the way He said it. This God-hating, sin-saturated society needs authoritative preaching. End of quote. What do we find in our day? First of all, I see that biblical doctrine has become irrelevant. In other words, it's not important. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 tells us why and how this is taking place. We see this more and more as we look around. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 says this, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Well, God the Holy Spirit says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 that those who say biblical doctrine is irrelevant, in other words, not necessary, are listening and teaching doctrines of devils, in other words, demons. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul tells Timothy to pay attention, to give attendance to doctrine. He says there, once again, what doctrine is he speaking of? It's the whole counsel of God, the teaching of the Scriptures. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13 says, and God is speaking to Timothy here. He says, "Till I come, give attendance." In other words, attention, give attention to, pay attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Well, those who teach that the Scriptures are irrelevant are walking on dangerous ground. 2 John chapter 1, verse 9 says this, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." Well, those who are going around today teaching fairy tales and things that do not pertain to Christ, they're wrong. That verse in 2 John chapter 1 and verse 9 talks about the doctrine of Christ. Many of the modern preachers today say that that is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that is the gospel. That is how a person gets saved, is realizing and understanding about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But the Bible goes ahead here and says the doctrine of Christ. The doctrine is the teaching of Christ. He says, "He that abideth in the doctrine," in other words, the teachings of Christ, "he hath both the Father and the Son." The person who is teaching and listening to and studying the Word of God, that person is the one who is growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We're going to see more and more about that in just a few moments. Well, this is one thing we find in our churches and today in churches that the Bible, the biblical doctrine, has become irrelevant, not important. We also find this about the messages that are being preached or taught or presented. There are shorter messages because it needs to be more relative. In other words, relative changes with circumstances. Relative means that you're able to relate to the people more. Relative means this changes with circumstances. Now, I believe that the word is interchangeable there. In other words, why is this done? Shorter messages draw bigger crowds according to what some people believe. One modern preacher said this, "People will forgive even poor theology as long as they get out before noon." In other words, it's better to keep the congregation comfortable. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 9, we read of one person in the Bible who got so comfortable that he fell three stories and died. Acts chapter 20 and verse 9 says, "And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead." Well, I want to draw your attention to a couple of things in that verse. First of all, we see that this young man was seated, or he was up three floors. There was evidently, and there were, a lot of people present during this time of preaching from Paul. And Paul was long preaching. He was long-winded. He was, he kept preaching, and he was preaching the Word of God. He was preaching the Word of God, and he was telling people that they needed to get saved, and evidently he was going to be preaching long, but notice the place evidently was so packed with people coming to hear the Word of God that this young man had to go three floors up to get in on what was being said, what was being preached. Well, he fell asleep and he fell to his death. Of course, later on, you keep reading this section of Scripture in Acts chapter 20, and you'll see how that this young man was raised from the dead. Not in the sense that our Christ was raised from the dead, but the young man evidently once again died later on. He was brought back. God raised him, and would to God that some people would be raised in our local churches today. There's so many people. Many are called, the Bible says, but few are chosen. I say that many are cold and a few are frozen today in local churches. See, there are so many people who are dead in trespasses and sins in local churches today. They believe that they're on their way to heaven because they've gone there and they see so-called saved people who are listening to and partaking of the things of this world. They believe that as they look at this so-called Christian, that Christian's living like the devil. And so they believe they're as good as that Christian, and so therefore, they're on their way to heaven as well. Well, God help the people of this world and these so-called local Bible-believing churches who are straying and have strayed from the Word of God and are leading people to hell. As we look at this, we see that the church today has become comfortable. They want to be comfortable, entertained. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11 says, "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." See, instead of being entertained in church by the things of the world, we need to be interested in the things of God. You know, when my grandkids would come in and they would come into the home, one of the first things they wanted to do, they wanted to play. Well, that's the way it is as we look in a lot of churches today. When people come into the church, they think it's a playground. They understand as a child. They speak as a child. They've never been taught the Word of God. They've never gotten into the Word of God. Paul said that when he was a child, he thought as a child. But when he became a man, and that means in this scripture, it's teaching us that when we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to put away childish things. And we're not going to be thinking of the things of this world, but we're going to put our minds and our lives into the hands of Jesus Christ, and we're going to learn what He has to say to us. Luke chapter 24, verse 32 says this, "And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way, and while He opened to us the Scriptures?" Our hearts today need to burn and yearn for the heavenly manna from heaven, the everlasting Word of God. These people that we've read about here, they said, didn't our hearts burn within us? These people were on the road to Emmaus as Jesus had risen from the grave, and he was walking with these people. And they didn't know who he was at first. These were disciples, and as he was walking with them, they heard him speaking. And later on, they said, didn't our hearts burn within us? We don't have Jesus Christ in the flesh walking with us today, but we have him in reality in his Word, in the Word of God, as we study it and as we look at it. Our hearts should burn and yearn as we receive that heavenly manna from God, the everlasting Word of God. Well, messages in the modern churches have become a little shorter and more comfortable, and people go to be entertained, and they go to be interested, to keep them interested. In Psalm chapter 122 and verse 1, it says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Well, that's the way we need to be. As the children of God, we need to be happy. We need to be glad when the doors are open. We need to be there to worship our Lord, not to go there for the entertainment that is possibly offered, but to go there to hear the Word of God. How fortunate we are today to have the Word of God. The modern church has grabbed the worldly philosophy of pragmatism. In other words, they're concerned with results rather than principles. Well, that philosophy has worked for the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, the Church of Christ, the mega anything goes church, and so forth. Pragmatism will work if a church wants to abandon the principles of God. Now, I'm not saying all mega churches and big churches have abandoned the principles of God. What I'm saying is, if they're using pragmatism, if they're using entertainment, anything that deviates from the Word of God, they're wrong, and this needs to be stopped. Notice something else about pragmatism. Pragmatism sucks the truth out of biblical teaching more than any other scheme Satan has devised to date. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 26, the Bible says, And every one that heareth these things of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. See, a local church who forsakes the principles of God, the biblical teachings found in the Word of God, is likened to the person who builds a house upon unstable ground. No, the church may grow in numbers, but not for the Lord. Man can devise all the programs he wants, but it is God who gives the increase in his local church. God does not measure the success of a local church based on the number of people who attend. Success is not measured by numbers, but by doing God's will. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7 says this, So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. If we're depending on anyone or anything else other than God to build his church, then we're wrong. We need to get back to the old preaching. We need to get back to what the Bible teaches. We need to get back and do what God wants us to do as the children of God and as the preachers of God. We need to get back as the early church did, and they were winning souls for Christ. God added to the church daily such as should be saved. If you're saved, you need to be working for the Lord, telling others about Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. If you're not saved, you need to get saved, so that you one day will see the Lord of glory.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.